But anyway, also splashing all over the science news this week is a host of revelations about Australopithecus sediba. Now, this particular early human has been in and out of our show since 2010, when Professor Lee Berger from the University of the Witwatersrand first published his discovery. And what's important about these fossils is that at almost 2 million years old, they are amazingly preserved, and they demonstrate characteristics of both Australopithecines and the species Homo. Now, Australopithecines are those early humans that had small brains but could walk about some of the time on two legs, whereas Homo tends to have a larger brain and walk almost exclusively on two legs. So publishing in the journal Science, it's been demonstrated that Sediba has some of the features of both groups. So here's Professor Lee Berger talking to our very own Chris Smith about some of those features of the Sediba skull.
When you look at his nose, you can see that he's developing a real nose. He's actually beginning to project in this area. He's got that wide top of his head.
And big brows.
Big brows, yeah. You know, kind of reminiscent of what we sometimes describe as Homo erectus-type brows. The sides of his head, along the temporal, just above your ears, are very straight and flat. In Australopithecines, they curve outward, creating this sort of flared look. And, of course, you know, you're seeing a whole skull seen in rock right here. We can look inside of it and see this.
So you scan this, you work out what's on the inside of that bone without having to touch it.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, because you know your brain is sitting there pumping away with every heartbeat you have, forming a picture of itself on the inside of your skull, we can take the inside of that skull and create effectively what I'm holding here, an endocast.
So that is what the brain would have looked like were this alive now and we're taking the brain out.
That is his brain, and it's about 420 cubic centimeters, and it's an interesting-looking thing. I mean, already you can see that it's somewhat asymmetrical. That's something that we tend to associate more with us than we do with apes and such as that. That the area along the side here is expanded, or at least appears to be, and that's an area
we call
Broca's area.
The area you're referring to is Broca's area. Now, that's the bit I'm using to speak to you.
That's exactly right. Well, at least that's one of the hypotheses of how that's using. And it has long been tied to the idea that if we were going to see a speaking hominid, we would see expansion in Broca's areas first. And you be the judge of that, whether that is. It's a brain that's not shaped like a hominid 2 million years should be shaped like. It's a brain shaped in most of what we see superficially like something you'd see a little bit later, but with a few hangbacks of that.
It's small.
It's way too small.
And there are other findings that put Sediba somewhere in between the Australopiths and Homo. It has arched feet, but quite ape-like heels and calves. It has cusped teeth, which were large, but not as large as the usual Australopith. There are also differences from the earlier Australopithecines in the shape of the Sediba's pelvis. The flat, flaring sections, known as the iliac blades, are quite thick and vertically orientated, as you see in modern humans. But these aren't any indications that these changes were actually associated with having bigger-brained babies. So what the authors very cautiously posit is that Sediba's hips were becoming more Homo-like through walking much more like Homo, and that bigger brains weren't required to drive certain changes in the pelvis. Plus, the fossil may provide some much-sought answers about the mysterious early hominin from Southeast Asia. Now, that's Homo floresiensis, or the Hobbit.
And one of the problems, of course, you know, with the hobbits and flora, one reason people criticized it was there was no good ancestor. We didn't have an ancestor that had that small of a brain with all these derived features of Homo in it that could possibly give rise to something like Flores until now.
So you could be looking at two things. One, the early evolution of language, and two, an explanation for where the hobbit people came from.
And there are even little things like this beaking at the front of the brain that might tie it very, very directly to that.
What a find. And you can hear more of that in a special half-hour interview with Professor Lee Berger on our website that's at thenakedscientists.com. Dave.